VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, last Thursday, the Attorney General of New York sued the National Rifle Association, seeking to put them out of business. Also in New York, their Supreme Court has recently granted a motion that orders the New York Police Department to turn over the name, zip codes, license category of anyone who's granted a firearm license in 2018. In Illinois, the state is being sued again for denying residents their Second Amendment rights. Liberal activists are calling for the defunding of police in cities across the nation, while cities like Chicago just saw their bloodiest month in decades. Some police chiefs have warned businesses of their lacking ability to come promptly to their aid, and meanwhile, the sales of guns are surging across the nation. Well, joining us today to discuss these and other Second Amendment-related issues, we welcome back Mark Walters. Mark is a national board member of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms and the broadcast media spokesman for the Second Amendment Foundation. He's a recipient of the 2015 Gun Rights Defender of the Year Award, a columnist and author of three books, Lessons from Armed America, Lessons from Unarmed America, and Grilling While Armed, also a radio talk show host. Mark, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Oh, it's great to be back. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to the discussion today.
Well, let's head back to last Thursday, the announcement that came from the Attorney General of New York suing the NRA, seeking to put them out of business. They're making these allegations that high-ranking executives have diverted millions of dollars for personal trips, no-show contracts for associates, other questionable expenditures. Your comments on what's going on there, is this something politically motivated or are there legitimate concerns?
It's a combination of both. And it's a great question, but it's a combination of both. I've been publicly highly critical of current management at the top of the National Rifle Association, namely Wayne LaPierre. It is my personal opinion that Wayne LaPierre should step down and let a leaner, meaner NRA form itself. Wayne is refusing to do that. He has surrounded himself with loyalists who are protecting him at all costs, and he is refusing to go. Why? That's open for discussion. But during the original Ackerman-McQueen, and it's complicated, I'll make it as brief as possible, but the National Rifle Association got into a legal tiff with Ackerman-McQueen, their longtime advertising partner and PR firm. And this, we're talking about a 40-year relationship here.
Mm-hmm.
And when Oliver North at the NRA convention the year before last decided to bring public what he saw and deemed to be financial mismanagement, the beef between him and Wayne LaPierre was on. Ackerman-McQueen wound up suing. That lawsuit exposed a lot of expenses that upset a lot of people. It was found that Wayne LaPierre had spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on suits in Beverly Hills, for example, $32,000 in one purchase alone. It came to light that there were, at the top of the National Rifle Association, tremendous amounts of expenses to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars on black car services, trips to the Bahamas with family, without Wayne LaPierre, private jet trips, et cetera. This didn't sit well with a lot of members. It didn't sit well with a number of board members. And consequently, there's been an awful lot of turmoil at the top of the NRA. I have publicly called under that situation for Wayne to step down. Step down. Let's move the NRA on. The country needs a strong National Rifle Association. What we have today as a result of all of this, which has essentially played into Letitia James's hands, the AG of New York, was to literally hand them the keys to the locomotive that they're now going to try to run right through the building that is known as the NRA headquarters. So it's a mess all the way around. None of us wish it was happening. It's not good for gun owners at all, at any level. And this is at a time when gun ownership is at historic highs, number one, and the NRA's representation is needed desperately in Congress. And number two, at a time when we're facing, no doubt the most important election since Lincoln, as far as we're concerned, relative to our gun rights and to other issues going on in the country that we'll talk about, I'm sure, today as well.
Sure.
But, yeah, this is a mess all the way around. It's going to play out for years and it didn't have to happen. It was avoidable.
Well, Mark, at the same time, while this is going on in New York, we also have the Attorney General of Washington, D.C., that's pursuing a civil case of their own, this one against the NRA Foundation. Are they working in tandem here with New York? Or?
Yes, that wasn't a coincidence. You know, I guess the way to look at that and view that is when you see things begin to line up, you can legitimately question whether these are coincidences. This is they are both rabid anti-gunners. Letitia James is one of the most fervent anti-gunners in a position of attorney general in the history of this country. She hates the National Rifle Association. She's Soros-funded. These people are doing anything they can to destroy the NRA. The timing is not suspect. The timing is not. Hey, people will say, well, the timing is suspect with the elections. No, it's not. It's intentional. There's nothing suspect about it. This is politically driven, both suits. You can hang your hat on that. But there are questions. What kind of damage is this going to do to the National Rifle Association? I would ask, what damage is it going to do to the National Rifle Association that they hadn't already done to themselves? Number one, this has been playing out publicly now for over a year and a half at the top of the NRA. Yeah, and all this is doing, quite frankly, when we see these as gun owners, we get motivated. Essentially, I use the analogy, they're just poking the hornet's nest with another stick. And when you rile up gun owners, one thing we know about gun owners is gun owners vote. And they vote their guns. And they will vote their guns in this election, no question.
Yeah, do you fear, though, with this going on with the NRA, that the Second Amendment itself is going to fall victim?
The Second Amendment is already falling victim to this, yes. We needed a strong National Rifle Association fighting on... Well, I'll give you an example. Just a day before, Letitia James made her quote-unquote large national announcement last week, the National Rifle Association had made what we all felt was a breath of fresh air, made a big, bold statement of the tens of millions of dollars they were going to spend in various races around the country to counter the Bloomberg money. And then the next day, whack, this comes into play. And it just depletes the message that none of this should have happened. We needed a strong National Rifle Association, which, by the way, is over 5 million American citizens.
Mm-hmm.
5 million. So when you attack the NRA, you're attacking 5 million law-abiding citizens, veterans, active-duty military, law enforcement, every Joe Blow citizen of every walk of life, every color, every creed, every religion are all found inside the National Rifle Association. So it's an attack on America itself and the Second Amendment itself. And again, it frustrates people like me who spend my life fighting for the right to keep and bear arms in print and columns and on national radio, mm-hmm. television, et cetera, because it didn't have to happen. It was avoidable. But it is where we are, and we're going to work our way through it.
Okay, and so we're talking about it here today. I know also the NRA is coming under attack from the National Association for Gun Rights, and they're saying, hey, the NRA is not advocating for us. The president says that the NRA has been AWOL from the fight for decades. Have they?
That's an argument that some folks would make. I really can't. I would stay out of any conversation that with the National Association of Gun Rights. That I don't do a lot of work with them. They're mm-hmm. certainly welcome to their opinion. There are a lot of people who would take that up and who would say that. I've had some of them on my show that the NRA began to lose focus on the Second Amendment, began going off in different directions, down different rabbit holes. Mm-hmm. For example, beginning the conversations about abortion and other conservative issues that have nothing to do with guns, immigration, they would say. I could argue that both of those things, I could actually tie them back to guns if we wanted to get into that conversation. Immigration, we know, about 85% of immigrants in this country vote Democrat, about 85%. It's the Democrat Party that wants our guns. So immigration is a huge issue when it comes to both illegal and legal immigration in this country. We're letting people into the country who are going to vote against our gun rights. So those types of arguments can be made. They're on the other side of the fence saying, hey, you know what? Leave immigration and the rest of the issues out of it and focus straight on the right to keep and bear arms, period. So that's what some of the other groups are saying, that the NRA lost its way a while back in fear-mongering for raising money, et cetera. I can't argue that. That goes on in a lot of different areas with a lot of different companies and a lot of different rights organizations on both sides of the aisle. They both do it. So, yeah, they're guilty of that as well. But we're smart enough to figure that out. The sad part about it is when we need the NRA to be the biggest voice they can be for us in American history right now, they're AWOL.
Mark Walter is with us today, National Board Member of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, also spokesman for the Second Amendment Foundation. Mark, let's hit another New York issue. It was last month, July. We have the New York State Supreme Court granting this motion that's ordering NYPD turn over the names, turn over zip codes, turn over license categories. Anyone who was granted a firearm license in 2018, and it's being pursued by the New York Daily News, who said, hey, we have a right to know, and looks like a right to publish this, too. Is this not an invasion of privacy? I mean, might the Daily News really publish this list?
Oh, sure. You know, the Cleveland Plain Dealer years ago used to do it on a fairly regular basis, would publish the names of Ohio residents that had Ohio concealed carry permits, and there was nothing in Ohio law that would stop them from doing that. Many states have in their law, for example, Florida does, we have it here in the state of Georgia where I reside, where that's a violation of the law, that it's a violation of my right to privacy. So, but you know, you don't have that, and again, this is all part and parcel to the fact that elections have consequences.
Right.
You know, if you live in a blue state that is just rabidly anti-gun under somebody rabidly anti-gun like Cuomo, with an attorney general like Letitia James, this is the way you're going to wind up. You're going to find out that they support these type of invasions of privacy and infringements against your constitutional and civil rights. It's just the way it is.
There's a number of folk that are concerned that things like this are going to establish gun registries. And it seems once you have a registry, that the path is open, the door is open to lead toward gun confiscation as well.
Well, you've just opened up a real big can of worms, because what we need to do now is take a look at exactly what it is Joe Biden wants to do. And you need look no further than Joe Biden's website itself when he talks about what he wants to do relative to the right to bear arms. And I can give you just a couple of examples. We hear from the left this talk about common sense gun safety measures or common sense gun safety legislation.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, we know that that's a cover for gun control. And gun control doesn't impact criminals. It impacts you. It impacts myself and others who want to purchase a gun legally. Joe Biden has a multi-step process on his website laying out exactly what it is he wants to do. But the left's mantra with quote-unquote universal background checks, which began very heavy under Obama administration, particularly in his second term, as universal background checks. First of all, you have to know, what is a universal background check?
Right.
Well, when I purchase a gun from a dealer anywhere, be it at a gun show, be it at a dealer's brick and mortar store, I have to fill out the form 4473, which is the NICS National Instant Criminal Background Check form that goes into the computer. It's monitored by the FBI, and I get an approval or a denial. That's the national background check form that we're talking about. So this myth that you don't get a background check at a gun show is just that. It's a lie. Every dealer at every gun show, wherever that gun show is, whatever state it happens to be in, has to file or has to fill out, and you have to get a background check. What they refer to is, and they'll come up with numbers, they'll say, well, 40% of gun sales are made without background checks, to which I would say to you, where did you come up with that number? How did you get 40%? If you don't know, because there's no background check filled out, where are you getting the number? Mm-hmm. And they can't answer the question. It's a made-up number that's just been circulating for years. The left has been using it, some say as high as 50 or 60, when in reality there's no way to know that, because if I sold you a gun in my driveway, they would never know it.
Mark Walter is our guest here today on Crosstalk. Second Amendment issues are our topic today. We're going to take this break, and when we come back, we're going to probe further on this issue about the November election, as Mark's going to give us a glimpse as to the status of gun rights. What is the status of the Second Amendment under a second Trump term versus what gun rights looks like under a Biden term? We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how fast did the animals migrate away from Ararat after Noah's flood?
Chris, the Bible tells us that after the flood, God commanded the animals to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And that they did, migrating to fill the earth. There are some modern-day examples of rapid animal spreadings, several coming from the island continent of Australia, which until recently had no mammals. Now, rabbits are nearly epidemic. Another example would be a particular kind of toad that was introduced in Australia back in the 1930s, and then just 10 years later was observed over 1,000 miles away. Surely the biblical concept of migration to fill the earth is not only possible, but quite plausible. Besides that, it's true, because we're told about it back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today, Mark Walters, board member of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, media spokesman for Second Amendment Foundation. He's a radio talk show host that daily is dealing with this issue of Second Amendment rights. He is a recipient of the 2015 Gun Rights Defender of the Year Award. As we were into that break, we were just beginning to look at what things look under a Biden term versus under a second Trump term, and especially on Second Amendment-related issues. And you just opened the door for us here, Mark, on the matter of background checks. So carry that through. You're leading us towards something. What are things looking like under a Biden term with background checks versus what we have under President Trump?
All right, let's get ready to take the ride together. So I want to ask your listeners to walk with me and follow me as I go through this process. In the previous segment, we were talking about background checks. And I made it clear that in order to buy a gun from a federally licensed dealer, you have to get a background check, period. It doesn't matter. Same background check you get in New York State that you take in Florida, Georgia, Arizona, California, Illinois. It doesn't matter. Same background check. What they call the gun show loophole is simply a private transaction that happens to occur on the premises of a gun show, which makes sense when you think about it because lots of people go to gun shows to find out what's available. Now, the vast majority of sales at gun shows are all done through dealers. Why? Because most responsible Americans, I never sell a gun to anybody I don't know. If I do, I make sure that individual, and I've only done it once, make sure that individual has a concealed carry permit that's accurate, because that means he's already gone through he or she has already gone through the process and has a concealed carry license and has already had their background checks. And I've gone as far as checking with their dealer where any transfer might be made. So having said that, that sets up what is the universal background check. The universal background check would apply to all sales. However, I asked you before the break, if I sold you a gun in my driveway, how would they know about it?
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't. It's impossible for them to know. If I sell my neighbor a hunting rifle, my Tika 247, for example, because he likes it and wants one and can't find it on the shelves, how are they going to know if we don't get a background check? They're not. Even Obama's Department of Justice said when they did that study on universal background checks, universal background checks do not work. They require national registration so that the government knows where every gun is in order to make sure that you, in fact, did transfer that firearm through a federally licensed dealer. Otherwise, the government has absolutely no idea. So that opens up your door right there for national registration. National registration then leads to confiscation. Why? Because now every single anti-gunner, think Eric Swalwell and your AR-15. Once they know where your guns are, they can do that. Now, I'm going to walk you over to Biden's. This is from Joe Biden's actual website. I don't want listeners to believe me, that crazy gun nut talk radio host and author. I want them to listen to exactly what I just said, and then let's take you over to Joe Biden's website. First on his list, Joe Biden pledges to, and I quote, ban the manufacture and sale of assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. First off, let me ask you a question. What is an assault weapon? It's any semi-automatic rifle they want it to be. Not just an AK-47, not an AR-15, which are semi-automatic rifles that shoot at 7.62 by 3.9 in the case of the AK, or a 5.56/223 in the case of the AR-15, but it's any semi-automatic rifle. See Washington State, see California. Whatever gun they don't like, they put on and classify as an assault weapon. You can take me to the bank with that. That means all semi-automatic rifles. It's been done in other states. So he says he wants to then prevent manufacturers from circumventing the law by making minor changes that don't limit the weapon's lethality. And while working to pass this legislation, Biden will also use, and I'm quoting, his executive authority to ban the importation of assault weapons. Now, that begs the question, what about the 15 million to 20 million that are already out there? Well, here's what Biden has in store for you. Regulate possession of existing assault weapons under the National Firearms Act. That's what regulates machine guns and suppressors, for example. And he says that by doing so, that requires you then to register. If you want to keep your quote-unquote assault weapon that they've deemed it as, you now have to register it as you would a machine gun. So there's your universal registration if you want to keep the gun. What if you don't want to get on that government list? Joe Biden's third, they want to buy it back from you. Therein lies the confiscation. Joe Biden is setting the country up for confiscation of firearms. The answer, just as what Biden has already said, who has already said is going to be his gun czar, and that's Beto O'Rourke, just as Beto O'Rourke said when he was campaigning for president. And it is laid out right there on Joe Biden's website. But wait, there's more, like Steve Jobs used to say. When it comes to your handguns, he wants to, and I quote, reduce the stockpiling of weapons. And he wants to do that by putting national legislation restricting the nation to the number of firearms an individual may purchase to one gun per month. So there you've just seen in Biden's America how he plans to go about taking your guns. And he will lay that out. It's right there on his platform, on his page.
Well, folks, it's amazing what this country would see a transformation like you would not believe under a new Biden administration. I mean, all the things that has been promised on day number one of his administration, one would not be able to recognize the country as is. Mark, let's look back here at June. We saw the Supreme Court finish their term, and there's a huge disappointment this summer coming from the U.S. Supreme Court that they actually had the opportunity to accept some Second Amendment rights cases, actually passed up on these critical cases. Why did that happen?
That is a great question, and I love the way you phrased it. It's a disappointment, and it is. We had 10 cases. By the way, the organization that I represent here on your show, the Second Amendment Foundation, in addition to my shows, five of those were direct Second Amendment Foundation cases. Two of them we had filed amici briefs in support of. So we had our fingerprint on 7 of those 10 cases. Here's what was at stake. And again, to put this in layman's terms for listeners, this is, again, walk with me and follow me through this. There were 10 pro-gun cases. We would have liked to have seen them take all 10. We were hopeful that the Supreme Court would have taken 2 or 3. There was one case in New Jersey that dealt with the carrying of firearms and the right to show, or the need in New Jersey to have to show good cause in order to get a permit, because we want the Supreme Court to go above and beyond the 2008 Heller decision and actually address carry outside the home and the whole permitting process. That case was alive in one of the New Jersey cases. You have 4 justices who have verbally and written spoken about this. Thomas is one of the most vocal, but both Alito, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh, along with Thomas, are itching to take a Supreme Court case that deals with gun rights so they can put this issue to bed once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's where I'll tell you that Chief Justice Roberts, remember this, Chief Justice Roberts voted in favor of D.C. Heller case, wiping out the gun ban in D.C. Chief Justice Roberts voted with us 2 years later, subsequently, in the McDonald versus Chicago case that wiped out the gun ban in Chicago, and in addition, incorporated the Second Amendment to the states through the 14th Amendment, just as the rest of the Bill of Rights. So we felt we had an ally in Roberts. It only takes 4 justices to decide to hear a case. And in this particular case, with all 10 of these cases here, the 4 justices who are screaming for a case did not take one. That begs the question, why? We now know the answer why. You need look no further than Roberts' decision, riding with liberals on several cases since then, where he has sided with the liberal wing of the court. What we know now for a fact is, well, as close to a fact as we can get, we can make this assumption probably better than 95%, is that those 4 justices, Alito, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Thomas, could not get a clear indication of how Chief Justice Roberts was going to vote on one of these critical Second Amendment cases. Therefore, they refused to take a case. Now, I'm going to submit to you that their refusal to take a case literally saved the Second Amendment from destruction. Had Justice Roberts voted the wrong way on any one of those cases, your Second Amendment rights would have been wiped out and the rest of the country would have been forced, or could have, based on local governments, had to abide by New Jersey-style gun control. So I'm looking back at this in hindsight now with some crystal clear definition and saying those 4 men, as disappointed as I am in Roberts and the fact we didn't get one of those cases, those 4 men more than likely saved the Second Amendment.
My. Wow. That's amazing. Mark, let's hit another issue. Problems in Illinois. We understand the state, they're dragging their feet in complying with this mandated 30-day requirement to issue the firearm owner's ID card if the applicant meets all the qualifications. What's going on in Illinois?
We're suing Illinois. The Second Amendment Foundation is suing the Illinois State Police in conjunction with ISRA, the Illinois State Rifle Association, for exactly what you just said. They're dragging their feet. It is written into Illinois law that they have X amount of time to issue a FOID card. You know, Illinois, and again, let me put this in perspective for you listeners. This is very, very important. What you're hearing us talk about in Illinois and the hassles that Illinois residents have to go through, and New Jersey, as I alluded to, and New York, as I alluded to, and possibly California, I mentioned Washington, and these crazy, quote-unquote, assault weapons bills. This is their vision for you. This is what Biden has laid out for you on his website, joebiden.com. I beg you to go read it. But what we're talking about here in Illinois is exactly the same vision that Joe Biden has for this nation. So let's go back to Illinois briefly. The Illinois State Police are dragging their feet here. The Second Amendment Foundation has stepped up and said, you're violating the law. You're violating Illinois law. You're dragging your feet. They're using coronavirus and everything else as an excuse. And the Second Amendment and the Foundation is staying up and say, no virus tramples the right to keep and bear arms. Mm-hmm. In fact, the FOID card itself is an infringement. What is a FOID card? It's a firearms owner's ID card. So in Illinois, much like New Jersey, you have to get an owner's ID card and pass a background check to get it that says, okay, now that I have this card, now I can go buy a gun. And when I buy a gun, I show them this card because, yay, I got my government permission slip. Now I have to pass another background check and wait 10 days to pick up my gun.
Something's wrong there.
So, something's very wrong on every level, but this is the vision that they have for America. And like we do with the Second Amendment Foundation, we sue these cities, these counties, and these states and these organizations into compliance.
Yeah. Well, Chicago, I mean, they've got some of the most stringent gun laws in this nation. And yet, last month, July, Chicago's bloodiest month in decades, 107 homicides in July, up from 44 the year previous, 570 people shot. We're talking an area of some 230 square miles. And the mayor contends that the way to handle the recent increase in shootings is more gun control.
Yeah, there's a couple issues at stake in Chicago. There's some positive things happening in Chicago. Well, I mean, it's nothing positive from the numbers, but positive in the political sense. Let me explain what I mean. First of all, just last weekend in Chicago, you had 41. The weekend just ended, okay? It just ended. You had four people killed and 41 wounded. Those numbers are going to rise because some of those wounded will die. We see that week after week after week in Chicago, day after day. Currently, year-to-date, 427 people have been killed in Chicago. 2,013 have been shot and wounded. A total shot of 2,440. Total homicides are 466. People get killed in other ways. They get strangled, blunt force trauma, whatever the case may be. But the vast majority of them are shot. Now, in Chicago, the mayor, Lightfoot, is now pivoting back to gun control. Why? Because they're trying to make that a campaign issue. And it's quite fascinating because while they're doing that, we are at historic levels of gun purchases in this country, over 3.2 million background checks done just last month alone in July. What does that tell us? That tells us that Americans, when they look at, one of the things I like to say on my show all the time is, if you show me an American city in decay, I will show you an American city controlled by Democrats at every single level. And I'll finish when we come back.
Folks, you're listening to Crosstalk. Mark Walters, our guest here today, talking on Second Amendment issues. And looking at Chicago right now. And we're going to look at a couple other places, and we'll be opening some phone lines back in a minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Islam is on the rise all over the West, including America. In his compelling book, The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, author Erwin Lutzer believes that we have reached a tipping point. The spread of Islam is impacting the way we live, and this advancement of Islam poses a threat to our freedoms of speech and religion. But he says this time also offers Christians a powerful opportunity to share the gospel. in The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, Dr. Lutzer addresses several important issues, including the agenda that Islamists have for the West, how Islam's growing influence will affect you personally, and what the Church should be doing in response. He also gives a reminder that ultimately, the enduring truth of the cross will prevail. Copies of the book, The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, are available for a donation of $17 to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829 during regular office hours. Again, that number, toll-free, is 1-800-729-9829.
Our topic today, dealing with the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution. Mark Walter is our guest, national board member of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. With us today is media spokesman for the Second Amendment Foundation. Just before we get back to Chicago, you've got a website to tell us about where people can stay informed on these issues.
Yes, absolutely. I'll give you a couple of them. First one is saf.org, Second Amendment Foundation, saf.org. You can join us. A life membership is $150. An annual membership is as low as $15. We'll take couch change. We currently have 40 lawsuits fighting on behalf of gun owners across the country right now in courtrooms, active in courtrooms across the country. And it is the Second Amendment Foundation, by the way, that has won. 85% of the case law won in favor of gun owners has been Second Amendment Foundation cases. Cases such as Heller, D.C., McDonald's, Supreme Court cases. We had five cases up for review by the Supreme Court just a couple months ago. So it's the Second Amendment Foundation that's out there doing the dirty work on the ground in the courtrooms. It is expensive, and we win most of the time, but it's expensive, and we need your help. Secondly, if you want to stay up on Armed American Radio and the things that I'm up to talking about these issues 6 days a week on the nation's airwaves, you can visit armedamericanradio.org. You can visit me on facebook.com/armedamericanradio, and you can watch me in the studio live. I'll be live here as soon as we're done with this interview at the top of this hour. So we're just constantly talking about this and getting this message out.
Okay, again, folks, SAF, standing for Second Amendment Foundation, saf.org, and armedamericanradio.org. Mark, let's get back to Chicago here and the threat that's there as to, their answer is more gun control.
It is, and it's interesting. It's very interesting what's happening here, the dynamic that's in play. Because before the break, I was telling you that we were at historic levels of gun ownership in this country. Try to find what you're looking for now. It's almost impossible. Manufacturers are being taxed. There's not a lot of supply because the demand is so high. Ammo is extremely, extremely difficult to find right now. It's not going to get any better anytime soon. So I'll advise listeners, if you find something out there you like, buy it. It's going to be more expensive tomorrow, and it may not be available tomorrow. So take advantage of it while you have the opportunity. So we are experiencing record high gun ownership in this nation, and not just conservatives, but people from all walks of life. Why is that happening? Well, because we're seeing the Democrat version. As I mentioned, I've been saying this for about 10 years on the airwaves. If you show me an American city in decay, I'll show you an American city controlled by Democrats at every level for decades. You cannot prove me wrong there. The Washington Post tried to prove that wrong when Donald Trump said it, and the best they could come up with was a city nobody had heard of from in Arkansas and Jacksonville. And Jacksonville is not a city in decay. It just has a crime problem. But it's the only city they could come up with that had a Republican mayor. So it's a true statement. And how does that all tie together? Well, it's not just me saying it in an echo chamber now. Donald Trump is using what's happening in all of these Democrat-controlled cities right now that's causing the fear that Americans across the country are saying, hey, I want to feel better and safer. I don't like what I'm seeing, and I want to have a gun for my own personal protection and protection of my family. And we are witnessing right now, just yesterday, last night in Chicago, more horrible rioting in Chicago last night because of a police officer-involved shooting. Completely justified. Somebody shot at a police officer. If you don't want to get shot by the cops, don't shoot the cops. Mm-hmm. Pretty much that simple equation. But we're seeing in Portland, 73 nights in a row now. This is insanity is going on. We're seeing in Seattle what's happening and the rioting across the nation. These are now commercials for Donald Trump. This is Joe Biden's vision for America. So Americans are seeing now what's happened to all of these large Democrat-controlled cities over decades, and I submit to you that they don't want any part of it. And that's why that fear is driving people from all walks of life.
Yeah.
Because we all, regardless of our political persuasion, regardless of our color, regardless of our religion, we all have a right to feel safe and secure, and Americans are exercising their Second Amendment recognized God-given right to defend themselves. And where it's interesting to me is because this would seem to crumble the gun control agenda. They're hating watching millions of Americans purchase more guns. Their agenda is crumbling at their feet. Yet they're out there now in Chicago. Lightfoot, Mayor Lightfoot, is now proposing that they need more gun control, and the rest of the nation is seeing it for the joke and the lie that it is. How is that the case? Well, she blames the gun problem, gun violence, that they, as they call it, in Chicago, on guns from Indiana, to which you don't even have to dip the stake in holy water to end this argument. If that's the case, then how come Indiana doesn't have the same problem Chicago has? Because that isn't the case. It's because criminals break the law. And she has a crime problem in Chicago. They've had it for decades. The Democrat policies are at the root cause of it after all of these years. And Americans are finally waking up to this, which to me, and I'll make some of your listeners feel much better, to me means a Donald Trump victory in November. I'm not afraid of that loss at all.
Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. And, Mark, you know the mantra that we've been hearing through these large cities, defund the police, and some are doing that. We're talking massive millions or billion dollars, millions being taken from police departments. And with police departments under threat of being defunded, and some cases defunding votes have already taken place, we understand, as you mentioned, gun sales are going through the roof. I mean, people are beginning to assume, even if I have to make an emergency call, that the police won't come. They won't be able to come, and that's a pretty horrible feeling.
It's a terrible feeling. Something else I've talked about for years, and I really didn't know what I meant. It'll make sense to you when I say it. I used to say to my audience over the years, I still do, the day is coming if the Democrat Party, formerly known as Democrats, the Socialist Marxist Communist Party in this country, formerly known as Democrats, if they have their way, good, hardworking, decent, law-abiding Americans are going to be forced to have to make decisions that they never thought they would have to make in their lifetime. And that's played itself out. People say, well, what do you mean by that? What decisions? I said, I don't know yet. We're going to have to wait and see how this plays out and what path the Democrats take. Well, now we're beginning to see that play out. One example would be, am I going to abide by Joe Biden's gun control scheme if he's elected? I'm not giving him my gun. I've seen what they want to do to me. I don't want to feel unsafe in my home. So here we've got good, decent, hardworking people who have never even had a speeding ticket are now having to make decisions they never thought they would have to make, one that may make them a felon in the eyes of the law because they're not complying with an unconstitutional edict by a progressive socialist in America. This is a terrible place to be.
Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. We're going to begin with Robert calling from Mobile, Alabama. Robert, you're on the air.
Hi, Robert.
Yes. What's behind the gun control issue that the Democrats are definitely trying to take the guns from the public in the United States? Has it anything to do with a takeover or something like that, that we won't be armed?
Robert, you've just asked the very question I've been asking of my listeners for years. What is it about their agenda that requires you to be disarmed? Let me go to Virginia. That's a great question. I'm going to give you the best answer I can, and I want to use Virginia as an example. Virginia is the model of what they want for the rest of the country. You may remember that just about a year ago, in the previous election, Virginia fell to the Democrats at all levels of government for the first time in a quarter century. And the first thing the Democrats did was went after law-abiding citizens' right to bear arms, and Governor Northam signed, I think, 8 or 9 gun control bills. They didn't go after fixing the Chesapeake Bay Bridge tunnel that's leaking that they're always whining about. They didn't go after education and health care in the state and other infrastructure. The first order of business after 25 years being out of power was to attack gun rights and put all kinds of draconian gun measures in place. The next session coming up, they're going to be revisiting their assault weapons ban. And the question asked is, why? Why? What is it about their agenda that requires you to be disarmed? Robert, I don't have the exact answer for that.
Well, a lot of questions.
I'll ask you that as your answer. you think about that and you draw your own conclusion.
Robert, thank you for the call. Let's go to Star in Marshfield, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes. Is it possible that the cities and the government actually want gun violence so they can call in the United Nations and their small gun arm treaty?
You know, that's, Star, good to talk to you. We hear that a lot. I will go as far as saying this, that gun control and violence playing out in some of these cities, we're not hearing decried at the top of the Democrat Party as we should. In fact, we're still hearing the mainstream press call what's happening the absolute anarchy in Portland and what happened in Chicago last night, which was an outright riot. We're still hearing them call it protest.
Peaceful protest.
Correct. Again, I'll let you draw your own conclusion to that, but I would ask that when you see these stories, that you see them with an open mind. And just remember that sometimes when lots of coincidences seem to line up, you can ask yourself legitimately, are these all coincidences?
Yeah.
And begin to draw your own conclusions.
Thank you, Star, for raising that issue. From Wisconsin, let's go to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Bill, you're on the air.
Yes. Well, guys, well, there's just as many Democrat voters that are for their guns as there is in Republicans. You know, so where do you get the balance of Democrat voters wanting to lose their rights just because Joe Biden and those others want to do it? Well, there's Democrat voters again that just love their guns. You know, so how do you get it away from the people that are Democrats and not willing to give up their rights?
Right. That's another good question, and I love the answer to this. What was the caller's name again?
This is Bill.
Bill, it's great to talk with you. You can listen to me now on Sundays in Albuquerque. I just was just brought onto the airwaves in Albuquerque. So the answer to that question is complicated, but it's really not complicated. And here's the short answer for that. Because those Democrat voters who love their guns, and there are millions of them, I know several of them, also, or would be willing to if they had to, they're voting for a Democrat who they know wants to take their guns away, which tells me that there are bigger issues that Democrat cares about than guns. It's not a single issue for that individual. Most gun owners who vote conservative tends to be their single issue, period. There's nothing else on the party ticket they're worried about in voting their gun rights. But those Democrats who love guns, and there are millions of them, and I love them, thank you, because in my estimation, a Democrat who loves their guns is fixable, okay? I can convince you of other aspects of maybe that party's agenda that might not be as big a concern. But there are other issues that they're concerned with, not just their guns. But I'll tell you, there are a lot of them are moving. For example, if you look in the state of Pennsylvania, it's a great example. Not enough time to go into all the demographics up there that we have. But Pennsylvania gun owners, for example, Wisconsin gun owners, Minnesota gun owners, Michigan gun owners, traditionally blue states, are voting for Trump because they don't want to lose those gun rights. So while we don't know what that exact number is, we know there are a lot of Democrats out there who are looking at this now and saying, hey, you know what? I'm seeing this in a different light. I don't like what they're trying to do. And it is backfiring on the Democrat Party and on Joe Biden to a certain extent. So there's a split there. You've got Democrats that want to protect their lives, but you know what? Their gun's not the biggest issue. Maybe it's global warming or the Green New Deal or whatever it may be. But it's not guns. Yeah. Then you have the Democrats who are now turning and realizing, hey, you know what? This is about my gun rights.
Thank you, Bill, for the call. Let's go next to Sardinia, Ohio. Linda, you're on the air.
Hello. Yeah. What I've seen, I'm 70-some years old, and from what I've seen over the years, the Democrat Party is all about power, control, and greed. And all the Democrat Party, they just want to take our guns. So, because they plan on being dictators. They don't want a government. They just want to be dictators. And the American people better open their eyes and see that we have to vote all these leftist, liberal Democrats out of office. That's the only way we're going to save this United States of America.
Linda, thank you for the comment. I'm up against a break. Back, we'll have our guests give a response here following. Back in 60 seconds, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Thank you. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Recently, I had the privilege of interviewing Pastor Rob McCoy. He's the pastor of a Calvary Chapel church in Ventura County, California. His church has followed all the guidelines and done everything the health department has recommended. But he finally said, enough, we're going back to church. His church is now being threatened with misdemeanors for everyone that attends. He did indeed break the order of the judge, and now he's going before the judge this week for contempt of court. What will happen? We don't know. He said he's preparing to have his house and church taken if that's what it takes to stand for liberty. Because after all, they've shut churches in California while they've remained open, pot stores, bars, and let Black Lives Matter march on the street. America, my friends, is at a crucial point, and it seems as though the target are conservatives and Christians, and particularly churches and schools where people vote. Is that the goal? To stop voting and push it to the mail?
Mark Walters, our guest here today on Crosstalk, dealing with the Second Amendment, and the website, SAF.org. That stands for Second Amendment Foundation, SAF.org. His own radio program, ArmedAmericanRadio.org. Mark, that caller from Sardinia, Ohio, you were issuing a hearty amen.
My answer to Linda in Ohio was going to be exclamation point that and leave it alone. She nailed it.
Let's go to Richard calling from Punta Gorda, Florida. You're on the air, Richard.
Good afternoon. First-time caller, and my opinion on this is that there's a lot of Democratic prosecutors that are wanting to get a step up in the Democratic Party, and so they're using their power prosecute people that use their guns lawfully. I was wondering what your guest thoughts were on that.
Thank you for the call. And Punta Gorda, I know you well. I'm from Tampa, so I love you and I miss you. And I'm jealous because I'm not there. But not what you're referring to is there's a lot of Soros-funded DAs across the country, prosecutors. And what the objective here from some of the Soros PAC and foundations has been is to skirt Congress and install their leftist ideology through the prosecutor's offices in states around the country. We saw that with Letitia James. Another one that we saw is Gardner in Missouri, who is prosecuting the McCloskeys. The caller is absolutely correct. Those leftist prosecutors sympathize with, and this is hard, it's hard to wrap your head around this, but if you read the statement of Gardner down in Missouri, she said it's unconscionable to her that a group of peaceful protesters would have been assaulted by a husband and wife with guns, forgetting to mention that these peaceful protesters had just spent 3 days destroying the city of St. Louis. They had broken into a gated neighborhood in violation of the laws, and somehow the homeowners who are trying to have a peaceful dinner outside on their patio are the ones who are violating the law. We live in an upside-down world. The caller is 100% right. It poses a tremendous danger to the right to keep and bear arms. When you've politicized the right to keep and bear arms the way they have, it has a chilling effect on everybody's gun rights. Missouri law is plain and clear. The McCloskeys will never see the inside of a courtroom, period. They will never be convicted. And if it happens to go that route, the governor has already said, I'm going to pardon. So they'll never see it. They should never have been prosecuted to begin with. Never, ever, ever want to politicize the right to bear arms when it comes to the right to defend somebody's life. And it's happening. It's upside down.
Richard, thanks for the call. Let's go to Warren calling from Wisconsin. You're on the air, Warren.
Hello. I was calling about the Second Amendment, right? I'm a retired veteran, and I think I'm praying for all the veterans around the country that we don't have to, but I think we're going to have to fight for our rights. You know, I took the oath to defend the Constitution of the United States, and I'm also putting in a prayer for the churches that are closed. Take their muskets in one hand and their Bible in the other hand and go to church and do like George Washington and our forefathers said. Nobody talks about where the Lord says to sell your coat and buy a sword. And we have our God-given rights to defend ourselves. Yeah. And all these churches should just take their weapons to church. Somebody comes up against them, fight like George Washington. And
Warren, thank you so much, and thank you for your service to the nation. And
thank you, Warren.
Mark, we're certainly going to trust. We don't want a civil war in this nation.
No, of course not.
Mm-hmm. with the taking up of arms in that regard. But Warren's underscoring how valuable these rights are, these constitutional rights, and these are rights that he fought for.
Absolutely, and many other have fought and died for.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go back to, you know, to the founding of our nation. And here's the safest way to put all of this to bed. I've gone back, and I would ask your listeners and you to do the same thing. Go back and read the stories about the caning of Senator Sumner in 1853 in the old Senate chamber, when a Democrat nearly killed a Republican by beating him over the head with a cane because they disagreed politically with some of the things when the country was, you know, vehemently debating allowing Kansas to enter the Union as a slave state or a free state. It was a brutal fight, and it got physical, and Senator Sumner was almost killed. And on the Senate's page itself, it said what happened then, and the political discourse that had broken apart gave way to what would become, in hindsight, America's huge catastrophe known as the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to realize that what has happened before can happen again. And we have one of major two parties in this country actively trying to disarm the nation. And it is a legitimate question to ask why. Why are they trying to disarm us? And as Linda said, this is about power. It is about control. It's not about gun violence. It's not about gun safety. Or they'd be marching in Chicago for the last 50 years. It has nothing to do with that. It's about controlling you and having absolute power. And what Warren just said, the safest way to end all of this is to make sure that we stop them dead in their tracks at the ballot box come November. That's how we do this, and we do it peacefully at the ballot box, and we vote the right way, and we vote for the party that's going to fight for our gun rights and uphold those constitutional oaths that Warren was talking about, and not for the party that is actively fighting, as I read directly. Joe Biden goes farther than the Democrat platform. It's all out there for you to see.
Warren, thank you for the call.
That's how we do it peacefully.
Let's hit Diana next. Hi, Diana. You're on the air.
Hi. A similar thing happened with the Wounded Warriors, where the person at the top, quite a while back now, was taking money from the Wounded Warriors and having all these wild parties and drinking and paying for all these different resorts and stuff like that out of the Wounded Warriors money. Well, they didn't take that to court and everything. They just got rid of the guy and then started, you know, with a new guy at the top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know they lost a lot of donations for a while there till they got a new guy in there. But they didn't make as big a deal out of that. And that was even worse because it was taking advantage of every wounded warrior out there.
And so you're relating that to the NRA right now. Mark, we've got 45 seconds. Go ahead and comment.
Answer that quickly. 100% correct. I was one that pulled my donations away from the Wounded Warriors when I found out, and I moved it over to the Special Operations Warrior Foundation. I still give to them. And when they fixed their problem, I went right back over to and now donate to the Wounded Warriors as well. The NRA could have done the same thing. Diana's 100% correct. None of what we're seeing had to happen.
Diana, thank you for the call. We're less than 30 seconds. Let me ask you, Mark, are you optimistic going forward?
I am. I believe in order for Donald Trump to lose this election, I believe, and I don't want anybody to get complacent because we all have to vote, but I believe America has to want, the majority of voting Americans has to want what we're seeing on our televisions in these Democrat-controlled cities, and I don't believe that's what Americans want.
Mark Walters, armedamericanradio.org and saf.org. Mark, I know you've got a program at the top of the hour. Thank you so much for joining us here and addressing this critical issue.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, guys. I loved it.
Mark Walters with us here today. Again, one more time, those websites, SAF, that stands for Second Amendment Foundation, saf.org, and armedamericanradio.org. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.